The message is entitled, Called to Closeness, taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. And we're going to begin, I put 10 down, but we're going to start with verse 9 just so that it flows better. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious and holy word? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. For now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day, for this time of worship. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for being the sacrifice for our sin. Now, Lord, I pray that you would make your presence known among us, that you will move among us, Lord, knowing every need that's present here. You know the ones who have strayed. I pray that you'll bring them back. The ones, Lord, who are hurting, I pray that you'll comfort and encourage. The ones who are afraid, I pray that your sweet calmness would overshadow them. Lord, every need in this service, I pray that you'll respond and that we will respond to you as you deal with us. We pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Call to closeness. Is that the kind of relationship you have with Jesus Christ? Is it close? Well, the goal is not closeness is not coming to church on Sunday. If that's all Jesus is for you, you're missing out. Okay? There's so much more to be had. And last week we finished with verse 9, and I'm not going to go back and re-preach verse 9 again. If you missed last week, you can go online and get that message. But I did want to start there because it makes better sense in reading, adding verse 9 and 10, because 9 does go very well with 10. And I do want you to think for just a moment of the scripture, verse 9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor had entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, we've often been told, and you've heard talked about that, you just can't imagine what heaven's like. And that's not the idea. That's not the context of this scripture. The context of this scripture, how it applies, is the ones that the eyes have not seen, nor the ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. Those are lost folks, okay? Those are lost folks who have never gotten a glimpse of the glory of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. But as for us, we're different. We're different because our eyes have been opened to a closeness, to a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ that the world cannot and does not understand. Do you realize, as a child of God, you are privy to information about God that most people do not have? Do you realize that? I mean, you get it, where the world just doesn't get it. And today, I call your attention, first of all, to verse 10, where we take a deep look at the deep things. If you notice verse 10, it said, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Now that word deep, when we see the word deep, we think complicated. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about complicated. The word, the Greek word literally means things beneath the surface. Okay? There are always things beneath the surface. A few years ago, Beth and I went on a cruise and somewhere in the Caribbean, we decided that we were going to go snorkeling. It was the greatest experience that, you know, one of the most fun things that I've ever done. Because when you go out on that water, you look at the surface of the water. And you see seagulls flying around near the surface, diving down and grabbing a fish, you know. You'll see fish jumping out of water. I was amazed because I'd never seen flying fish. Did you know they really have flying fish? I mean, those things would jump out of the water and they'd fly for 40 or 50 feet and then hit back down. And it was awesome to watch, yeah. But the thing that you don't realize is that there is a completely different world below that surface that you never see by just looking out over the water. And what you have to do is you put that snorkeling mask on. And when you put that snorkeling mask on, you just put your face down in the water. And it's like somebody turned on the light switch. I mean, a world just illuminates of the different fish and the coral and the seaweed and the marine life and the turtles. And it goes on. And just the beautiful color. I almost drowned the first time I did that because my mouth opened. I was like, you know, it was so beautiful. A world that I never thought about being there, really. And you know, I've seen specials on TV and the Discovery Channel of all the fishes, but that doesn't do it justice. I mean, you've got to experience that beauty for yourself. Well, in that same context is what we're talking about, the deep things of God. There is a spiritual world that most of the world never sees, that they don't get because they have not experienced it. They may know that God exists. They may have a surface knowledge and look around and say, yeah, God exists. I see His creation. But the idea behind God and a relationship goes much deeper, whereas you see the beauty of who God is. And you know the joy of being a friend of God. I mean, it is just, there's something that I cannot express to you. For instance, the joy of prayer. I mean, we're all guilty from time to time, just kind of going through our prayers, you know, because we're supposed to. We've all done that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those times when you close your door and you say, God, we just need to talk. And you talk to God. And He communes with you and His Spirit bears witness with your spirit. And there is a joy, there a peace that you cannot explain, that you just have to experience. The joy of the Word of God. Oh, listen, you may be one of those who are, you know, I read the Bible in a year. And that's really good if you do. You do need to read the Bible. But let me suggest to you, Bible reading is not just about going through the Bible. Bible reading is also about sitting down and letting God speak to you through His Word. And the joy that is there. And don't get me wrong, I'm not discouraging you if you're on a Bible reading program. You know, that's great. I'm just saying, don't forget the joyous part of just sitting down and turning to one scripture and letting God speak to you through that scripture and meditating on that scripture. A joy that can't be expressed. Oh, but that you know once you've experienced it. Once you've looked beneath the surface. How do you get there? Well, first of all, you get there by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You see, a deeper look, a look beneath the surface begins with salvation. When you're saved, according to the Word of God, you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. That means that the Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul shares that fact with us as he asked the Corinthians, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you realize today, and if you're a child of God, you probably do, that God lives on the inside? Isn't that awesome? You see, that's the beginning of a deeper look. And once you receive the Spirit of God, and once God moves in on the inside, then His Spirit begins to bear witness with your spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, that His Spirit, the Spirit Himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There is a well, do you remember when you were saved? Do you remember? And listen, I'm not all these one of these feely-touchy kind of people all the time, okay? However, you cannot take away the feeling that you get from salvation, all right? Something changes within you. And it's a feeling of peace, a feeling of joy, a feeling like you have been in the presence of God, a feeling that you have been changed on the inside, and that change is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That, my friends, was your first glimpse beneath the surface when you saw a new world, things you never seen before, things you never experienced before. And you know what? You wanted more. Do you remember that? You wanted more. That's where we're going today with this message. That desire to be intimate, that desire that once you've tasted, as the Word of God, oh, taste and see that God is good. That's what we're talking about. And if you do not have that, my friends, you're missing out. Are you a child of the King? Have you experienced that saving grace? If not, today's the day. Okay? Today's the day to allow the Spirit of God to move within you, to take that deeper look beneath the surface. You may be one of those who have said, oh, there's nothing to all that stuff. I want to tell you, there is something to it. That something is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who will change your life if you take that deeper look. That deeper look will lead you to a deep discovery. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. I want to talk to you, first of all, about a reserved heart. You do realize that the heart is reserved for a very select few. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm talking about sharing yourself. That's reserved for a very select few. You may see the actions of a person. You may see the smile on outside. You may see his good deeds. You may just the outside looking in, you may think, oh, he's got it all together. But you know what? You don't truly know the inside of that individual until that individual shares his heart. And you see, the revelation of a heart is for those whom you trust deeply. Do you realize, do you go around blabbing about all your problems to everybody? No. No. Do you know why? Because there are some people you can't trust. Come on, give me an amen on that one. Some people you can't trust. Maybe you can't trust them, or maybe you don't know them well enough to trust them. But I'm talking about for you to bear your soul to someone, you've got to trust them. Very few people. As a pastor, I have just, you know, probably three or four people in my life that I would bear my heart to. My wife's one. Few select others. Why? Because I've got to trust them. I've got to know that they're not going to blab to everybody else. I've got to know that they're going to join with me if I'm hurting. That they're going to rejoice with me. Well, just as there's a part of any man that you cannot know until he bears his heart there's a part of God that the world just cannot know. And the reason is because, as verse 14 says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Oh, but let me tell you what God has done to those that are His children. God has revealed His heart to us. Now I want you to imagine that friendship that I was talking about just a moment ago. Those people that are so special, you would bear your very soul to. God has borne His heart of who He is to His children. Do you realize that? In order that we may know Him. That word know means to learn by experience. So that you may intimately know Him. So that you may know how He feels. So that you may know His desires. Let me ask you, do you care how He feels? He has borne His heart to you through His unconditional love. God wants you to know how much He loves you. I mean, Ephesians 2 and 4, some of my favorite verses of Scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He has loved us. Do you get that? His great love with which He has loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses. Even when we weren't worth loving. He still loved us with that great love and made us alive together with Christ by grace or by His divine favor and His goodness towards you. You have been saved and raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Do you see the love there? How that when we weren't worth loving, He still poured out His love to us. That unconditional love. And that love never fails, even though you fail. Have you ever been down that prodigal son path? Where you drifted away and it just, you know, turned your back on the Lord and turned your back on the Lord's church. And maybe you're here today and you're that way. Let me tell you about how God feels about you and where you are. Are you listening? God still loves you. And you know what? God still invites you back. Saying, come back. Come back, my child. I still love you. I'm still your God. I'm still your Savior. Come back. I can just imagine. You know the story of the prodigal son. How that the son ran away and squandered his father's wealth. And then he come to himself and decided he'd go back to his dad. I could only imagine what his dad must have thought, you know, when he seen his son coming. You remember how he responded? He saw his son coming and he ran out to meet him and he fell on him and he hugged him. Do you realize that's the Savior that you serve today? And He wants you to know that's how He feels about you. Unconditional love. Say, Brother Doug, you don't understand. I don't deserve it. You got to get in the line for that one, partner. None of us deserve it. But He loves us. He loves you. He has shared His heart with you through that unconditional love. He has shared His heart with you through adoption, that you may know adoption. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You see, that word adoption means to be placed in a family position as one's own child. You want to know how God feels about you as a child of God? Do you have children? How do you feel about your children? Greatest lesson in relationship with God. Have children. Okay? Oh, don't we love our children? Come on. Come on. Of course we do. And let someone mess with my children. What's going to happen? Well, you're not going to have to deal with me. You're going to have to hope I pull that little woman over there off of you. You know, I mean, we love them so, and rightfully so. Do you realize that's how God feels about you? And we talk about intimacy with God, and we talk about God revealing His heart to you. That's what He's revealed to you through the Scripture. He wants you to know that He loves you as His own son. As His own child. That's what He's revealed to you. He's also revealed intimacy with you. And that last scripture from Romans chapter 8 verse 15, it ended, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba, I've shared with you before, but I just remind you again today what it's talking about. That's a term of endearment. A term like we would say, Dad. Because He shared with us that adoption, that what it feels like to be in the family of God. Because He shared His heart, His soul, who He is with us. Because we know all that, we cry out to Him, Oh, Dad, I love you. Oh, Dad, I need you. That's what He's revealed. Just a few things that He's revealed to you. I want you to realize at this point, God has entrusted you with His most deep thoughts of who He is. Okay? And I asked you earlier, do you care how He feels? Do you care what He thinks? Do you care what He desires? If you're a child of God, you need to care. Okay? You really, really do. Because He has entrusted you with who He really is. And today I've got to ask you, what are you going to do with that knowledge? What are you going to do with that intimacy? Then we come to a deep disclosing, or disclosing the deep. And while we're talking, Paul said in verse 13, he said, these things we also speak. He was speaking the deep things because he was inspired to speak. And I want you to understand, first of all, Paul is writing this book of 1 Corinthians under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Okay? He's writing it because he's instructed to write it. And the things that he's writing from God. But he's also writing to explain to people the God that he loves. To share with people about the God that he loves. He's not just writing to straighten this church at Corinth out. You know, sometimes we get in that mood, I'm going to straighten that bunch out. That's not why he's writing. He's writing to share the awesomeness, if that is such a word, of the God that he serves. He's explaining spiritual things to spiritual men. And that's literally a translation of the last line there, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And we could go through a Greek lesson and waste a lot of time. But trust me, what he literally means there, he's explaining spiritual things to spiritual men or spiritual people. Okay? That's the idea. And the whole concept of verse 13, Paul is sharing deep things about the God that he loves. And I want to challenge you today, as children of God, as people who've experienced the heart of God, as those who have seen firsthand the great love by which God has loved you, I want to challenge you. Instruction in the Word of God, in who God is, how God feels, is needed. Don't you know, or don't you want others to know what you know about your great God? Okay? That's the idea. Don't you want to share with others? I mean, after all, the world needs to know. Think of the teenagers who need to hear from God. Those teenagers going through those years and they're hearing all the questions and they even have questions themselves and their faith is being challenged. You know what they need to hear? They need to hear who your God is. Mom and Dad, share with them who your God is. Friends of friends, share with them who your God is. God has shared with you. Look at the young families today. The families who are struggling. The marriages who are on the edge. You know what husbands and wives need? They need to hear from the God that you know. The people who are scared because they've learned they've got health issues that could cost them all. They need to know about your great God. Consider the things that you've gone through. Those times when God has revealed Himself to you in a very special way, at just that time when you needed it most. Go back to that time and then share who that God has been with you, with those people who need to hear from that God. You know, we often say, if there's anything I can do, just give me a call. And we say that with the intent that, oh, while they're sick, if they need their yard mowed, they're supposed to call me and I'll come mow their yard. Or if they need somebody to go get groceries, I'll go get groceries. Or if they need somebody to cook a meal, I'll cook a meal. And all that's fine, okay? I'm not discouraged. That's a good thing, okay? But you know what they need most of all? How many times have you been left just helpless feeling, saying, is there anything I can do? And they had nothing and you wanted to do something but you couldn't. How many times have you been there just saying, what do I do? Let me tell you what to do. You tell them about the God that you know. You tell them about the God that's carried you through the battles of this life. Tell them about the God that when it looked like bankruptcy was going to take everything you had, the God that came through. That when it looked like, you know, you received that word of the C word, cancer, you know, and you heard about that and it looked like, oh, things are tough and God showed up and took care of it. You tell them about that God. Because ultimately, my friends, you can't do anything for them. But the God that's always come through for you can also come through for them. They need to know who your God is and what He's capable of. I challenge you. It's great to be a child of the King. You know what's also great? It's also great to share with people who our King is. And watch as our King, our God, infiltrates the life of an individual. And that Holy Spirit indwells the life of that individual as they call upon Jesus Christ to be their Savior and changes that individual to never be the same again. And they begin to discover the things that many people here already know about our great God. You see, we do have the mind of Christ. That's the last line of the last verse of our text today. We have the mind of Christ. Christ is not some deep, dark mystery. I mean, you know, we have theology and it's fun to sit down and talk about all the things, the creation and how old the world is and all the theology questions about Greek and Hebrew and all. It's all that's fun. But you know what? God's not complicated. As a matter of fact, He's drawn out a plan for a relationship with you so simple that a child can understand. He says, come unto me. Come unto me, you who are weary. Are you fighting the battles of life? You're just about at the end of your rope and you just don't know how much more you can stand. And if one more thing happens, you're going to break. Let me tell you about my God who says, come unto me, you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You need to quit carrying that load. You need to come to our great God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you a child of God? If not, you can become one today. I'd invite you. You're a prayer away from salvation. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't deserve it. You won't get it by putting your name on the membership. You won't get it by being baptized. You simply get it by receiving Jesus Christ, calling upon Him as Savior and asking Him to save you. You see, He's the one that paid for your sin. He's the one that sacrificed so that you could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And He says, come, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon Jesus today? Maybe you're here today and you may be, as I said, in that crunch time. That crunch time when, you know, you need to hear from that great God. That great God that we're talking about is the God. And He's just as real as He ever was. Maybe you need to spend time at the altar talking to our great God. Whatever your spiritual need is, place it in the hands of the one that can handle it. The God of the universe, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. Oh Lord, we thank You for the encouragement from Your Word. We thank You that You truly have revealed Your heart to us through Your unconditional love. Lord, thank You for that love. Thank You for that intimacy that You desire for every individual. And now, Lord, we come to the invitation and I pray that Your will be done. Help us to respond to You. Lord, You know the needs. You know the calls that You're going to make upon our lives in this invitation. Just give us a willing spirit to say yes to You. And lead us, Lord. Guide our steps that we may honor and glorify You. Lord, we commit this invitation, this time of dedication and response to You, and pray that Your will be done in Jesus' name.